We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified.
Good morning. Well, we have a topic or a title, I guess I could call it. So I will give you that first. It's very short. It says, align with God's purpose. Now, with a title like that, I could be talking about a whole world of different things. What we're going to do is focus our attention in the book of Acts this morning. And let me just give you what I wrote down for my introductory statement here. That in this lesson, we focus on God redirecting the life of a man named Saul, whom Jesus later gave the name Paul. Saul was a man of great zeal. He went about executing his plan, which was to persecute the followers of the way. That means to persecute Christians. He thought that he should. And now I'm going to quote from Acts 26, verse 9. He thought that he should do many things, contrary to Jesus of Nazareth. He thought. God had a plan for Saul's life that was opposite to Saul's plan. God had a plan. Saul had a plan. God's purpose was to send Paul to the Gentiles. And then I'll quote here in from Acts 26, verse 18. God's plan was to send Paul to the Gentiles to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's the quote. Now, how did all this come to transpire? The pivotal question, a pivotal question was put to Saul. And we see that in Acts chapter 9, 22 and 26, where this is referred to. A pivotal question. Questions can be very important. If you ask the right question in the right context, in the right place, it can be of enormous benefit and help. So what was the pivotal question? The pivotal question was this. Saul heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now think about that. He's hearing a voice. We can say a voice from heaven. Said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me. Now, I want to say something here. Is that if Saul had been asked the question, this question, Saul, what are you doing? What is your purpose? What are you trying to accomplish? Those questions. He would not have said what he ended up saying after this encounter. Because after this encounter, he said, and it's rendered in different, a little bit different nuances, but essentially after this encounter, he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Now that almost became the title for my talk this morning, but it didn't stay. But anyway, so that was the response. But what I want to do now is, so when we look at that, and we talk about this Saul, and then, you know, that kind of emphasis that is put on that, and the meaning of all that, and all that. And I looked at a lot of notes about all that. But what I want to do is to kind of give a broad background or broad context for how things came to be to this point. How did this come about? What happened? And to do that, I want to take us back to chapter 1 in the book of Acts. So we start in chapter 1. We'll end in chapter 26, but we won't read everything in between. Okay. Because then that would defeat the purpose of what we're trying to accomplish. But let me just read the first 8 verses here in chapter 1 of Acts. This is Luke writing, the same author of the book of Luke. Here's what he says. The former account I made, O Theophilus, all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, that he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking to them of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. So that's where we begin. We're on a journey now to see how did we get to the place where the pivotal question was asked, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Think about what we just read. And so now we see what's going on here. I'm going to skip now to chapter 6. And I'm going to read the first 4 verses and a part of verse number 5. 5. And then let me go there. 6. Oh, there it is. Okay. Here we are. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Now I will leave off that reading right there in verse number 5. And I will skip to verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." Remember what we just read in chapter 1? And now we read this. What God said, what Jesus said, is we see it happening already here in verse 8 of chapter 6. And now in verse number 9, and I'll read a portion of that. "Then there arose some," and I'm going to skip to the bottom part of verse 9. "Then there arose some disputing with Stephen." Okay, now we're beginning to get some activity here that's going to show how we get to the pivotal point, a pivotal question. "So there arose," again, verse 9, the first part of it, "then there arose some," in the last part, "disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke." Why is that? Well, the reason is because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was speaking what God was prompting him to say, and they couldn't answer it. So that's an interesting picture. Because when we speak the truth as delivered by God, and we speak it, there's no argument that can overcome it. There's no power that can annihilate it. It's God's word. It's powerful. And that's what we see. And then verses 13 and 14, it says there, they also set up false witnesses. That's a horrible thing, just to think about that, for a person to lend themselves to that. Do they think about what the consequences will be for that? People do it. But anyway, that's what they did. They looked for people. They set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous," note that word, "blasphemous words against this holy place and law." And so they were accusing Stephen of being a blasphemer. But he was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit, who was speaking God's word. They were not aligned with God's purpose. "For we have heard him say," that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. Now, isn't that something? So, let us move along to chapter 7. Well, let me go on and finish the last part of verse 14 before moving to chapter 7. In verse 14 of chapter 6, it says, "For we have heard him say this, that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel." Then, now verse 1 of chapter 7, the high priest said, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Brethren and fathers, listen." Now he goes on with his speech, or his sermon, we might want to call it. Starting here in verse number 2. And he goes on to verse number 53. But I'm not going to read all of that just now. I'll read a portion, the last part of it, as rendered in my text, the last three verses. Verse 51, Acts chapter 7, here's what we read. "Now this is Stephen. I don't know how long it took him to deliver this message, but I tell you, it is chock-a-block full of content and allegations, but not just allegations. They weren't false allegations, they were true allegations. And they were cutting to the heart." Let me read in verse 51. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." That's pretty, we might say, harsh words, but true words. So harsh is not really the proper way to characterize those words. True is the way that they should be characterized. These are true words. They receive them as harsh. "You always resist the Holy Spirit." And then it says, "As your fathers did, so do you." Verse 52, "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you have now become the betrayers and murderers." As if just calling them stiff-necked and uncircumcised wasn't enough, he said, "You are murderers." Now that will get the dander up. "Who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. And may I add, and therefore you are without excuse." You received the message from God. You didn't keep it. You have no excuse. So now let's move along to chapter 8. And let me begin in verse number 1. Now Saul, this same Saul who gets the pivotal question in the next chapter. Now Saul was consenting to his death. Wow. That's a man taking a stand. Some people don't like to take a stand. They waffle. They try to duck having to take a position. That's all. He's right up there. I'm in favor. Wow. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, that is really quite a movement there. And let me skip along to chapter 9 and to verse 1. Here's what we see here. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus. Why did he do that? For what purpose? What was his purpose? What was his goal? He tells us. You talk about a man of zeal. You know, when the persecution came and they talked about how people scattered, Saul didn't think that was a good thing. He thought it would be better for them to be rounded up and brought back to Jerusalem and any others who he found of that way along with them so that they could meet the result that Stephen had. That was his mindset. That's an amazing thing. But let me read on. So he asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And now we begin to get to the point, the critical point. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And it said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, that last part of what I read may not be in your translation. Some manuscripts don't include that last part about kicking against the goads. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. He said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But that is in chapter 26. So we know it's a part of the record. We just know that some manuscripts don't include it in this particular place. So we don't have an issue about that. Then, now verse 6. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? That's quite a change of position. After being in high gear for persecution, now he's saying, what do you want me to do? And the answer comes, arise and go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do. So now there, what we read is Luke narrating what actually happened in that incident. He's narrating what happened. And I want us to go now to chapter 22, because in chapter 22, that incident is mentioned again. Now this is Paul speaking. He has been renamed. Jesus said, now you shall be called Paul. And we see him in chapter 22. Now he's on the short end of the persecution. He's being persecuted. So he's defending himself. But he's now, he's given a speech or a sermon before a Jewish crowd there. And I want to read verses 6 through 10 and note what it says, what they say, what we see there. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me. Now we see many places in the scripture where people who, when they are encountered by God, they fall to the ground. It's just too much. And they fall down. And Saul said, and I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but did not hear the voice that spoke to me. Verse 10. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise, go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. So now we have this encounter. This Saul. Now I was looking, and when I was studying this, and I came across a couple of words that said that the Greek has some case called double vocative. Well, I don't know Greek, but I read the notes. Double vocative. You know, it's a name there, and it's given in double form. But it said the Hebrew doesn't have double vocative. And so when we see it in the Old Testament, it's a repetition of the name, but it had basically, essentially the same force. That when that repetition is there, it really does something to elevate what is being stated. It's really getting the attention. And so it intensifies the address to the person. And so when he said, Saul, Saul, it's not just Saul, but Saul, Saul. It's like, I need your full, undivided attention. I think that's an idea of what is meant by that phrase. But now, let me see. So that is chapter 22. Now, let's move on to chapter 26. Now, chapter 26, we're going to be beginning the reading at verse number 8. I said verse number 8. My notes say verse number 11, so let's go with verse number 11. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. Now he's talking about the people of the way, the Christians of that day who had believed on Jesus, had received him. I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged, Pastor talked about that anger. Enraged. That's how Saul was. Being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them, even to foreign cities. You talk about a man of zeal? This man had it. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me, and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language. Now that's significant. He's speaking in the Hebrew language. Some say it could be Aramaic because that was the kind of the tongue maybe, but it doesn't matter. He heard in that voice. It was the covenant language voice that he heard this expression, Saul, Saul. Why? You persecuted me. And then it says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And so I understand that there was in the Greek, an expression like that, kicking against the pricks. And so this would have been a familiar expression, this idea. But the idea of kicking against the goads here, as it says here, some translations say pricks. But the idea is kicking against a restraint. Two things. One is, it can't be successful. and the other is that there will be injury. So what he was doing is, when God says in verse 15, let's read on. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Oh, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Whom did Paul think he was persecuting? Paul, or Saul, shall I say, thought he was persecuting blasphemers. He thought he should be applauded for that. But what he was actually doing is persecuting Jesus. Now, so you see that connection, what Jesus is identifying himself with the people. You persecute my people, you are actually persecuting me. It's almost kind of similar to how David said when he was in his confession. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned, when he had that confession about the incident with Bathsheba. He wasn't saying that he hadn't sinned against those people. What he was saying is that ultimately, I have hurt God by hurting them because they were God's people. And that's what's going on here, the same idea. So he was persecuting the church. That's not a good place to be. A better place to be is to be aligned with God's purpose. And so that should be the goal for all of us, that we should be in alignment with God's purpose. How do we get to understand whether we are focused in that direction or looking in that direction? There's only one way we can find out if we're looking in that direction. And that's why we're here with our Bibles open, because that's where we learn whether, as Saul said, I thought I should do many things contrary to Jesus of Nazareth. That's what Saul said. He thought. But God says, I have another purpose for you. Now we're going to read on. We're still in chapter 26 of Acts. And let's read the last part here. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. Note that word. God said, now let's hear, you know, you had your thought. Now let's hear my purpose. My purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. So he said to him, I have something for you to do. You're going to be a special representative of me. And then in verse 17, he says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people. Well, he needed that, because now that he's changed sides, they wanted him to be another one to suffer the exact same fate as Stephen had. So he needed that protection. But the Lord says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you. And so it's like the Lord is saying, I know that the persecution of the believers is still ongoing and it's intense. Don't worry about that. I will take care of you. Just do what I tell you to do. That's what he's saying. And then why is he sending them? For what purpose? It says here, to open the eyes, their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. So we see the mercy and the grace of God. He took a man who was the most vile offender, and he turned him into the most vile defender of the faith. And he has compassion for the lost. He says, I'm raising you up. Why? Because I want them to have the light and you to be the vessel. And it was. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This was God's purpose. And so we see that this man, full of zeal, who thought what he should do, and he had a plan, and he was zealous, and he went about to do it, but God had a better plan, and God arrested him on the road to Damascus. He was near to Damascus. He still entered Damascus, but he entered as a brand new man, not yet knowing what it was that he was going to have to do, and later what he would have to suffer for the sake of the name of Jesus of Nazareth. But that was God's plan. And so the best thing is to be aligned with God's purpose. Thank you very much. I appreciate you listening. Our Father, we thank you that you have given to us this privilege today to review these texts. We ask you by the Spirit of God that you work in our hearts and cause us to be better than we were. In the name of Christ, our Savior, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.